Not turn me up just a little bit, but make me more than normal if you would. And Josh, you got here in back there. The Bible is tonight and turned into Psalms, chapter number 16. Psalms, chapter number 16. And all of our young people, all of our teenagers, even our grade school kids, I want every one of you to have your Bibles out tonight. Look, do the preacher a favor. Put the iPads down.
Amen.
Put the cell phones down.
Amen.
Put it in mama's purse. I ask the kids to do that, and I ask the adults to do the same thing. Put away your devices. There's a sermon out there, but anyway, that's your devices, amen. That's what they say. I tell you, when you get on the airplane, you turn off all of the devices. Or if you did, we'd learn to turn off all our devices, internally and externally, amen.
Amen.
I've been very excited over the last, I don't know, 6, 8 months, a year, whatever it's been, about our young people. And of course, tonight was very, very mild compared to what it has been over the last. Listen to me carefully. Just because nobody ran a lap around the building or shouted or whatever, that doesn't mean God wasn't here. Not like that all the time. I'm glad it's like that some of the time. Well, you guys, be honest, I'm glad it's like that most of the time. Maybe a little bit more somber message tonight, but once you get it, and I probably won't preach long if I can preach at all. I'm past swallowing the frog, and the frog's all across his leg. It feels like now he's trying to claw his way out. And, anyway, we're going to do our best. I was going to get somebody else to preach, and the Lord just wouldn't let me do it. But I do want to preach to our young people tonight, or just talk to our young people tonight. But you need to understand something. If it fits them, Mom and Dad, it fits you too.
That's right.
This stuff of the old saying, do as I say, not as I do, that don't cut it.
Amen.
So again, that old saying, when you look at your kids and say, do as I say, don't do as I do, you're wasting your breath. Because you are leading by example. Whether it be a good example or a bad example, you're still leading by example. My mother hadn't smoked a cigarette in years, but I can remember when I was a boy, she'd take a big puff off that cigarette and say, if you ever touch one of these, I'll kill you. Of course, I did. She didn't kill me. She whooped me pretty good, but she didn't kill me. But your kids are basically going to do what you do.
Amen.
You're the greatest leader they have. They have a pastor there, a great youth pastor. I thank God for that. But you are their closest and dearest example. So I just want you to know that I'm not just preaching to our children tonight, I'm preaching to all of us.
Amen.
David makes this statement twice in Psalms chapter number 16. Or if you're there, say amen. David said, I have set the Lord in verse number 8 always before me. That's the key part of this thing. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. Watch what he said. I shall not be moved. Let's look at that verse together again and read it one more time. David said, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. And hold your finger right there and jump over to Psalms 62. Psalms 62. Say amen when you're there.
Amen.
Again, this is a psalm of David. In verse number 2, he said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Let me read it one more time. He said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Back in Psalms chapter number 16, "I've set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand." Back to Psalm 62, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Back to Psalms chapter number 16, "I've set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand." Back to Psalm 62, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense." Back to Psalms chapter number 16, "I have set the Lord always before me because he is my at my right hand." Are you getting where I'm going tonight? David said, "Because I set God in his rightful place. Because I've given the Lord," the Bible calls it, "the preeminence." In other words, I've given him the high seat in my life. I've given God the rule over my life. And because I have set the Lord always before me, because he is my salvation and my defense, I shall not be moved. When I was a little kid, there was a song we sang on the church bus and in junior church. It said, I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not, if you remember that song, "I shall not be moved." Here's the problem I'm seeing, not just in our church, but across the country, and pastoring for almost 26 years now in the same place. People are too easily moved. Say it again, people are too easily moved. I never was a football player that is afraid I'd hurt them big old boys. I played baseball to protect everybody else. But I remember one year I did play, and they taught us something about your stance. There's a certain way you stand. You stand with your feet close together. You're quicker to be pushed over. But boy, if you've got a firm foundation and a firm stance, you're less likely to get knocked over. Does that make sense? We've got too many people that are so easily moved. One day they're in, one day they're out, one day they're on, one day they're off, one day they're on fire like they was last Sunday night, and the next day you can't even smell smoke.
Yeah.
Now listen, let me tell you something. That's nature. We're all going to have our ups and downs, our ins and outs, our ons and our offs. But I'd like to have more ups than downs. I'd like to have more ins than outs. I'd like to have more ons than offs. I would like to have more fire than smoke. I don't want it to be once a year that our young people get on fire.
Amen.
Then they go to youth rally. I don't want it to be once a year when we have camp meeting and our adults get excited about the things of God. I'd like for us to get excited about God and stay excited about God. And how can we do that? Well, we've got to learn our nation to set the Lord always before us. Brother Chris, can you hear me back there? And my ears is stopped up. I can't hear myself. Let me say it again. We've got to learn to set the Lord always before us. You know what? Let me tell you something. I'll tell you what you're going to follow, Brother Jesse. You're going to follow what you're looking at.
That's right.
Say it again. You are naturally going to follow what you are looking at. I learned several years ago riding horses. When you're working horses, Chris, we're not looking at where we're at. We're keeping our eyes where we're going. You're going to follow what you're looking at. I remember coming home driving from a meeting one time, and it was a torrential downpour. I mean, you could not see. And there was a big semi-truck in front of me, and that made it worse because of the water coming off of that thing. And I was on 75 coming home from Kentucky. And I was watching the flashers, Brother Freddie, on that truck. And those flashers was the only thing even letting me know where I was. And all of a sudden, something dawned on me. How do you know he can see?
Yeah.
You don't know the man driving that truck. You don't even know if he's on the road. You have no idea who you're following. And I'm afraid that sometimes in our lives, in our Christian lives, even especially with our young people, we see something flashy and we want to follow it. Everything that flashes and looks good ain't going in the right direction. That day, that old truck driver, he had some sense. We got to a big overpass and he pulled over. I thought, me too, bud. And there was people sitting on the side of the road for miles because he literally couldn't see where he was going. But it just dawned on me as I was following them flashing lights. Just because they're in front of me don't mean they're going the right way.
Right, that's right.
Why are we so easily moved? We're so easily moved because we haven't found a place in our life where we make up our mind, this is where I'm going to stand. This is that I found my place, Brother Spartan. This is where I'm going to stand. We've used this illustration for years and years, and I know you probably get tired of it. Come here, Chase. Come over here and help me. You probably get tired of it. Me and Brother Jesse, Brother Michael, Brother Freddie, Brother Charles, he's not here tonight. All the preachers around here, we try to draw a line in the sand. And we try to tell our kids, don't you go over that line. We try to tell our moms and dads, don't you go over that line. Don't you cross the line. You ever got in trouble? You remember when you was a kid? And somebody said, you've crossed the line. You've gone too far. But here's what we like to do. Say this into this platform is that line. I want to keep my children as far away from that line as possible. He said, preacher, you preach against these kids being alone together, male and female. Yeah, I do.
Amen.
Say it again. Yeah, I do.
Amen.
I need your daddy's memory when you were 16 years old.
Yeah.
Let me ask you what you had on your
mind. Yes, amen. Yeah, preach, bro. Come on.
What I'm trying to do is push him as far away from that line as I can, because the devil, just as sure as they get saved and get excited about God, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to start pushing them.
That's right.
But here's what our kids love to do. Now see, you didn't have to move that much. I pushed him a little bit, but is he still in?
Yeah.
Common sense, is he still in?
Yeah.
And I'm the devil, and I can push him, and I can push him, and I can push him. Oh, Chase, he's still hanging in there. He's still got a chance to back up and say, I'm sorry, I slipped a little bit, but I'm backing up there. I'm getting where I ought to be. And if we're not careful, put one foot in front of the other, sideways. One foot in front of the other. There we go. I'm ready to bash you. The balance right there. Get right there in balance. I'm John Down, balance. Here's where we want to live in our Christian life. As close to that line as we can. Would not get now. That way, no matter what anybody says, is he still in?
Yes.
Sure he is. He's in church. He's doing right, man. He's just living as close to that. He wants to get over here. Maybe he's not out in the world, but boy, he can sure take a good look at it. But then the devil comes along and just... Does that make sense? Y'all better pay attention. It's way easier to get out. What happens if I get pushed this way? I'm just getting pushed back in. But it don't take nothing you set out, Chase. It don't take nothing but just a little bit. When you're balancing on the edge of in church or in the world, right with God or not right with God, just a little touch will greatly move you. David said, the Lord's my defense, and I shall not be greatly moved. Now, when Chase was over here, say this represents where God is. And the old devil pushed on him, he moved a little bit, but he wasn't greatly moved. He's still right here where he can back up and get right back with God. Let me say, he wasn't greatly moved. Even when he got out here a little bit, he still wasn't greatly moved. But boy, when he got out here, and he moved just a little bit. He's out. I didn't say he's lost his salvation, but he's just been pushed out. Tonight, just for a few minutes, I want to preach this thought if I can, if my throat will hold up. I shall not be moved. Teenagers, look at me. You get up here singing this youth choir. You need to make up your mind. This is where I'm going to take my stand. This is where I'm going to take my stand. I don't mean I'm going to take my stand with this youth choir on Sunday and take my stand with Beyonce.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, brother.
Amen. You know what a bunch of devil worshipers that crowd was?
Yeah.
I don't even know who's popular now. I ain't got a clue, but I know that half of them's got their own little the pet demon. They name them.
Right.
When my kids were growing up, the popular thing was to have a chihuahua in your pocketbook. Y'all remember that? That's a rat on acid. Amen. A chihuahua. That was stylish, but now it's that. What do you call it? Somebody give me that word. Illuminati. And you got your own little demon, and he's got a name. Beyonce named her one of her last albums after her demon. I'm saying take a stand with Jesus on Sunday, and take a stand with Jesus on Monday, and take a stand with Jesus on Tuesday, every single day of your life. Are you okay? Make up your mind, this is where I'm going to stand. And if we're not careful, we get in a place where nobody knows what we are. One day you're this, one day you're that, one day you're this, one day you're that. You just need to make up your mind and let everybody know around you, this is where I am and this is where I stay.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
In battle, on the battlefield, our soldiers, sometimes they put their lives on the line just to hold a piece of ground. And not let the enemy progress and push on that piece of ground. They hold that piece of ground. You need to make up your mind. This is where I'm going to stand. And I ain't going to move. I don't care what nobody else does.
Amen.
If everybody else goes to hell in a handbag, I'm going to stand right here in Christ the solid. All on the ground is sinking sand. I'm going to stand with Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Love that old song that says, stand up for Jesus. There was a song out, I think it might have been a country song. I heard somebody mention it in a sermon that said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Is that a country song? Yeah, if you don't, and that's a good truth right there. If you don't stand for something, you're a sucker for about anything coming down the road. Amen.
Yeah.
Let me give y'all maybe three or four areas in your life where you need to make up your mind. Where you're going to take a stand. Where you're going to stand and say, hey, I ain't moving. I ain't moving. You need to say, number one tonight, I will not be moved by my peers. I will not be moved by my peers. Turn me up just a fuzz louder, Brother Randy. Listen to me. Everybody in that youth choir tonight, look at my eyeballs. This time next year, somebody will be missing.
Yes, they will. That's a fact.
Right.
I've been doing this long enough to know this time next year, somebody will be missing.
Amen.
And it could be your best friend.
Amen.
When people walk away from God, the very first thing they want to do is find somebody that they can take with them. Come on, I'm sick of this, ain't you? I'm sick of that Jesse King, his rules, and all that junk. And you know what I'm saying? Nobody likes to walk away from God by themselves. You listen to me, you need to make up your mind. I don't care if it's one of your own brothers. You need to say, hey, Jack, not me. I'm staying here. Whatever you need, I'm staying here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Remember when I was a kid, one of my most famous excuses to my mother was everybody else's. I grew up in the 70s. I wanted a certain kind of blue jeans. Bell bottoms. Y'all remember that? Tell my age tonight. Hey man, get a comeback. I said, what everybody else is wearing. Everybody else jumping off a cliff, would you go down? Just because everybody else is doing it don't mean it's right.
Amen.
Just because everybody else is doing it don't mean it's right.
Amen.
Hey, out here in the middle section, just because everybody else is good, that means right. Just because, hey, it's just a recreational drug. Ain't no such thing as a recreational drug. Nothing will destroy your life.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody's doing, man. If it ain't right with God, it ain't right with God. We've done over the years, we've let the world teach us how we ought to talk.
Right, come on.
We've had to let the ungodly teach us how to dress.
Amen.
Some of the greatest influence on the lives of America is Hollywood.
Amen.
Some of that crowd can come out wearing some of the stupidest, ungodliest mess you ever seen, and all of a sudden it's the most popular thing there is. You're all okay. You need to make up your mind, I'm not going to be moved by my peers. Now, I was as much a boy as any boy's ever been growing up. And I don't care who you are, when you're a boy and the testosterone starts working and the hormones and all that stuff, man, you got to be cool. At all costs, you got to be cool. Even if you don't live for God, you got to do it cool. Come on, man, talk to me.
Amen.
You got to walk in church with your swag on. I watch these boys walk in. Instead of being, even if they're justified, instead of being protest. So cool. Here we go. Mr. Cool, right there. Kane Cool, say Kane. Let me tell you something. Everything ain't cool. Just because the world says it's cool, don't mean it's cool. Experimenting with drugs and all that junk, it ain't cool. Listen to some of that wicked, ungodly music. It ain't cool.
Amen.
You ever been to a gas station and somebody playing rap music like they think all of Villarica needs to hear? And it's so vulgar if my wife is standing there and punch somebody in the mouth.
Amen.
That's cool, man. Let me tell you what is cool. I'll take Jesus. You see, there is some reverse peer pressure.
Yeah.
Instead of you boys trying to pull each other down, you're going to be trying to pull each other in.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Instead of trying to tempt somebody, let me tell you what a real friend does. A real friend will push you to God.
Amen.
Yeah. The Bible said, iron sharpens iron, so does the countenance of a friend. I'll tell you what's cool. Cool is living for God.
Yeah.
Cool is making up that your mind at an early age, I ain't smoking a cigarette.
Right.
I ain't touching that stuff. That's what's cool. Somebody just man enough. You know what? A lot of people live today, they just want to be different.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's different. God said He even called us to be a peculiar people.
Yeah.
Man, if you want to get noticed, stand up for Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Positive peer pressure. Who do you encourage to do right, ladies? Some of you older boys, I wonder if you reach down to some of these younger boys and say, come on, can I pray with you?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Whether you realize it or not, if you're older than teenagers, these younger kids, they looking up to y'all.
Amen.
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 You make up your mind, I'm not going to be moved by my peers. Number two, this is a big one. You need to make up your mind, you're not going to be moved by your pleasure.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to be moved by my pleasure.
Amen.
I grew up in the days there was a television host. He had a, I don't know what you call that, a variety show. Flip Wilson. Who remembers Flip Wilson? A bunch of old fogies. Gerald Lee. He's the first cross-dresser I ever spoke to. Listen, he had to say no Jethro Bodine was. Anyway, listen, Seriously, you got to say it. Anybody know what it was? The devil made me do it. There's another one. If it feels good,
do it.
And they taught a whole generation of people that whatever pleases you, that's what you need to do. That's not right. Just because it feels good, don't make it right. There's an old song that said, loving you is wrong. I don't want to be right. I'd rather be right.
Amen.
Well, I don't see it's hurting anything. Maybe not yet. Maybe not yet.
Amen.
We'll be okay.
You
know what the Bible says about sin? It said it brings pleasure.
For
a season. Spring's coming.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to it. I don't care for winter. I'm dreading going to New York this week. They can have that whole state. They can have it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I know why you moved down here, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Better be glad we didn't build a wall. Spring is coming, and I love the spring. I love to watch the flowers blooming. My favorite thing of all during spring is see the dogwoods blooming. That's my favorite thing. I love springs. You know what? It's short-lived. We live in Georgia. Spring will be wonderful, but July and August will be right around the corner. It's going to be 105 degrees. You take a shower, you're soaking wet with sweat by the time you get to church. I'm telling you, sin is just like that. It's wonderful for a little bit, but more than it gets rough. I gave an illustration about a puppy last Sunday night. All puppies are cute. That's the ones that have hair on them, hairless dog. That's somebody in the shop for that. Anyway, them dogs are pretty when they're puppies, even in pit bulls. You feed it a little bit every day. Feed it a little bit every day. There ain't nothing wrong with it. It won't never hurt nobody. Next thing you know, you got an ugly pit bull dog.
Yeah.
Every one of them people on the news where a dog eats a kid by, he's never bit anybody.
Come on.
Then they want to go to court and fight over whether or not they're going to put it down. I got a dog that's one of my grandbabies. They won't be no debate. I'll blow his brains out. And if you come across my road from me and you got a pit bull and it bites one of my grandkids, I'll blow his brains out.
Amen.
I have no qualm with that right there. Amen.
Amen.
If they kill babies, I'm sheep dogs.
Amen.
Amen. I got the flesh right there. Make up your mind, I'm not going to be moved by my fears. Make up your mind, I'm not going to be moved by my pleasures. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 7. The Bible said, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 6. The Bible said, but she that liveth in pleasure, watch this one, is dead while she liveth. Just because it feels right, don't mean it is right. You cannot trust your flesh. Somebody said, let your conscience be your guide. Oh, no, you better not. Your conscience can lead you straight off into the pit, friend. Number three, I'm about out of gas here. Number three, number one, I said I won't be moved by my fears. Number two, I said I won't be moved by my pleasure. Number three, listen to me, I won't be moved by my pride. I mean, you have to know pride's a sin. Pride is never mentioned in the Bible in a positive way. It's negative every single time. Pride goeth before destruction, and the Holy Spirit before a fall. Proverbs chapter 16. Listen, your pride will destroy you. You know why people won't get right with God? Pride. You know what? You know what? Get right up. What it includes? It includes admitting you're wrong. Even getting saved, pride will cause you to die and go to hell.
That's right.
Because you got to swallow your pride and say, "Yes, Lord." Like that lady did. He called. She said. He said, "Just call her a dog." Said it wasn't meat to take the children's crumbs and give them to the dog. Or the children's meat and give it to the dog. She said, "Help the dog get the crumbs and come off the table." You know what she said to him? She said, "Yes, Lord.
You're right.
You're right." But sometimes you got to swallow your pride and go, "Yep, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm wrong." Pride will mess you up. I'm 54 years old, and it gets in my way. I'm 54, and pride just gets in my way. It's a stumbling block. A stumbling block. If you're not careful, kids look at me. If you're not careful, parents look at me. If you're not careful, you'll sit in an altar with God, in a pew with God dealing with your heart, and not come forward because you care, you're worried about what somebody else may think. I wouldn't want a boyfriend that didn't want me going to the altar. I wouldn't want a girlfriend that I'd be embarrassed to go and pray in front of. Amen. If you're worried about what she'll think, you need to ditch her. Amen. And girls, by the way, if you got a boyfriend and he don't want her to go to the altar and pray, what's he going to do with your kids? He's showing you the kind of husband he's going to be. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
Don't watch that boy how cool he is and how far he poked his chest out. It won't be many years that chest will be hanging over his belt buckle. You better watch and see how he'll worship and how he'll praise God. How he'll get him off and pray for himself and for you that God will help you stay right and do right. Pride will kill you. Adults, pride will kill you. You know that pride gets you out of church because you can't forgive somebody. Because you got your feelings hurt. I ain't making light of it. I've been hurt. I've had my feelings hurt. But I've had to swallow my pride and get over it and get over it. I've even caught myself saying, "Bless God, they'll never do me like that again." I won't get mad and I'll get even. That's just pride. That's what causes marriages to bust up. That's what causes churches to split. Because we get so full of pride. Number one, I won't be moved by my fears. Number two, I won't be moved by my pleasure. There's a lot of things, to be honest with you, I'd like to do. But the Lord says, "Enough, well, you can't do that." There's a lot of things my flesh would enjoy. Amen.
Amen.
I know y'all said, "Oh, come on, what?" No, thank you. I'm not going to be moved by my pride. I'm not going to be moved by my pleasure. I'm not going to be moved by my pride. Now listen, these things I'm giving you tonight is not a one-time decision. It's a line you're going to have to draw and stand every single day.
Amen.
My wife and I love the beach, and we love to go snorkeling. That's our favorite thing in the world to do for vacation or whatever. But a lot of times we'll go down to the shore down there where the waters, where the waves are coming up, where the sand is flat and hard, and you can draw in. And we've been married forever, but we still like to write our names in the sand. Amy and Angie forever, you know. And he'll stay there for a little while. I can't help it, I'm awesome. But you know what? He'll put that writing in the sand, it'll stay there. It'll stay there. If something happens during the night, somewhere in the darkness, the tide comes in.
Right.
And it washes away those lines that we drew in the sand. So for everybody on that resort to know that I love my wife, I've got to write that line in the sand every single day.
Amen.
Every single day we need to make up our mind and draw some lines.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm not going to be moved. last day I'm done tonight, I said, number one, I'm not going to be moved by my what?
Fear.
Number two, I'm not going to be moved by my what?
Pleasure.
Number three, I'm not going to be moved by my
pride.
Last day I'm done, kids, listen to me carefully. I'm not going to be moved in my purity.
Amen.
I'm not going to be moved in my purity.
Amen.
I won't get drafted tonight, Terrence.
Don't
get nervous.
Preach on, brother.
You know what? About any time you hear a preacher, of course, you'd rather hear a preacher mention this anymore. But about every time you hear a preacher mention it, he's preaching at the girl. Girl will never lose her purity. If it wasn't for a boy, it wasn't right.
Amen.
Granddaughters need to make a vow before God that they're going to save their self for their wedding day.
Amen.
And our boys need to make that same vow.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Sex outside of marriage is still fornication.
Amen.
It's still sin. It wrecks and it ruins young people's lives.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that God can't bless after the fact when somebody repents and gets right. I'm not saying if you mess up that God will never use you, because he will. But I'm saying if you still have the opportunity to save yourself, save yourself. Make up your mind. I'm not moving. I don't care what everybody does. When they go to handing out the contraceptives at school, you need to say, no, thank you. I won't be needing that.
That's right, preacher.
Somebody said, well, I'm going to take it and put it in my wallet just in case.
Come on,
if you're in a boat with Jesus, you don't need a life.
Yes,
are y'all okay? Make up your mind, that's enough where I'm going. So what if I mess up? I tell you what, don't put yourself in a position and you won't.
That's right. That's
right. Amen. I still think purity is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
I think it's precious.
Amen.
When Lydia and Latour stood here on this platform this past year before last year, Ruth, they all the same to me. They both did the same thing, y'all. Stood right here on this platform and didn't even know how to kiss when I said you can make a kiss your bride. Everybody was laughing, but I started squalling. It was precious. It was just awkward.
Amen. Amen. Lord.
It's wonderful, eh?
Amen.
Amen. Give me this illustration. I'm going to follow the Lord and sing this song. Y'all come on and get ready. Listen. There was a girl in the high school years ago. It's supposed to be a church boy. And all her friends had sat at a lunchroom table. They was making fun of her because she was still pure. They was calling her a holy roller, sister so-and-so. I mean, they was just giving her a hard time day after day, because she hadn't went all the way.
Yeah.
Finally, one day, a little girl made up her mind. She looked up at them girls that was making fun of her, and she said, I tell you what. She said, any day, any moment, any time, I can become what you are. But you can never again become what I am.
Amen.
She wore modest clothing to school. She carried her Bible. Everybody made fun of her. Time to nominate the homecoming corps. All the football players, all the sports teams got together and they let them nominate who would represent their school for their homecoming queen. They mentioned this girl. Somebody said, nah, I'm not going to. Well, what about so-and-so? She's beautiful. Yeah, but finally one of the boys stood up as the captain of the football team. He said, I tell you what, he said, I'm in no name. He said, but I'm going to make that girl wear dresses to school, carries that Bible under her arm, praying every day, because she needs the one they made fun of, the one they ridiculed, got to ride the parade on the back of the convertible, waving at everybody with a crown on her head. Thank you.